I'm Carol Hills in for Marco Werman, and this is The World. The latest ISIS video this weekend, the one that announced the beheading of American aid worker Peter Kassig, it was different from the ones that preceded it. So what can we learn from it? We'll hear about that in a few minutes, but first, the video underscored a fear that many aid workers, diplomats, and journalists share in the Middle East, the fear of being kidnapped.
A friend and I were on a busy street in downtown Sana'a, the capital of Yemen.
That's scholar and journalist Gregory Johnson.
We were walking in to get breakfast. My friend, a Yemeni, caught his windbreaker on a soldier's rifle as we walked in. We didn't think much of it. We went in, had breakfast, had some coffee, and when we came back outside about 15 minutes later, that same guy with another man with a gun were waiting for us. They started pulling us toward the street, and I looked up and I saw a cab with its back door open, and that's when I realized they were trying to kidnap us.
You tell the story movingly in an article published yesterday in BuzzFeed. It's called My Last Day in Yemen. Gregory, you call Yemen a home away from home for you for many years. And your BuzzFeed article is really like a farewell. What changed?
That's a very good question. In 2010, 2011, I was living in Cairo when the Arab Spring and all the revolutions that were overthrowing presidents who'd been in power for decades and decades. In fact, the president in Yemen had been in power longer than I'd been alive. And when I went back to Yemen in 2012, after he had stepped down, it was a completely different place. Security had fallen apart, and no one knew the rules anymore. And there was this great expectation after the Arab Spring in 2011, and that is that people thought if they could only get rid of the dictators at the top, that their life would be better, that it would be different. And their expectations were inflated, and then when they burst, it was a very hard come down.
What about the U.S. role in Yemen? How has that changed or not since Ali Abdullah Saleh stepped down?
Right. So when I first went to Yemen, the U.S. had just invaded Iraq. The pictures of Abu Ghraib came out. Saddam Hussein was found in his spider hole. And there was a lot of fighting going on. But at that time, in 2003, 2004, there was a big difference between the personal and the political. And so there could be personal interactions with Yemenis in which were very warm and very caring. And in fact, that's usually a trademark of Yemen and in this society. But over the past 10 years, from 2003 to now, there have been so many drone strikes that the U.S. has carried out in Yemen. There's been more and more warfare. In fact, we saw U.S. troops leave Iraq, and now they're going back. And so the U.S. continues to find itself involved in multiple wars across the region. And this is taking a real toll. And I think people are no longer looking at individuals. I'm no longer, when I go to Yemen, seen as a particular individual, but more and more as a symbol of the United States. And unfortunately, we're seeing this with hostages, journalists, aid workers who've been kidnapped by ISIS in Syria and in Iraq, and then very tragically beheaded, not because of who they are or what it is that they've done, but because of the nationality that they are and the passport that they possess.
I want to go back to the attempted kidnapping of you. And you mentioned in the article how you had to make a quick decision in that instance, and it struck me that that was also based on the fact that you knew this had happened to other people and you kind of knew what possible outcomes could be. Can you bring us back to that moment where you're sort of struggling with how to react and how to get out of the situation?
In those sort of 45 seconds when the man with the gun is pulling on my arm and trying to throw me in the back of the taxi, I certainly know what has happened before in Yemen, and I talked about this quite a bit with the woman who I'm now married to right before I left for Yemen, and what we would do in the event that I was kidnapped. And I told her what to do. I gave her a list of names, of people to call, of what to say, of all the things. And you plan as much as you can plan for something that you hope doesn't happen. But I was never really able to figure out what I would do in that situation. Before I left, I saw a video of a German diplomat who, also in Yemen, who had escaped an attempted kidnapping, but the kidnappers chased him down. They tried to kidnap him in a supermarket, and he broke out of their grasp and escaped. They cornered him, and then they executed him on the tile floor of the supermarket. And so that was certainly in the back of my mind. So when you get in the cab, you're kidnapped, and there have been people who've been kidnapped in Yemen and still haven't been heard from. or if you resist, you're dead. And I didn't know what to do. And in that moment, I still didn't know what to do. But then your instincts sort of take over. And I think there's something within everyone that rises up to their defense when someone is trying to do them bodily harm. And so you just react. And it wasn't actually until I'd sort of broken away when he tried to chamber the bullet and escaped into the restaurant. And that was when the fear sort of crashed over the adrenaline that had been ruling me up until that point.
It's an amazing story. Gregory Johnson is the author of The Last Refuge, Yemen, Al-Qaeda, and America's War in Arabia. Thanks so much, Gregory.
Thank you, Carol.